You know what I love about the beginning of that show was the family friendliness of it all. You know, people say slightly offensive. It's not really a family friendly show. And I didn't think it was either. I'm going to tell you this, guys. I never thought this show was family friendly. I said maybe 16 and up, 17 and up. My threshold of what's family friendly is much different than the people of Los Angeles, because apparently wearing like leather daddy thongs and like spanking some horses. I saw these little like puppies and furries. Apparently that's all for the children, including, I don't know if you saw this, Christina Aguilera's very now famous Shrek's genitals strap on that she had on, the green one, which was for children. People were nude, there were nipples out. And I just got to say, Los Angeles clearly has a different threshold for me. We were out there, we were traveling. If you haven't watched our new Pride video, you got to click the link in the description. You got to watch it. It's absolutely amazing. And to talk more about this, I have two amazing guests with me today. I'm not even going to give them a title. Mark Loebliner. He's back in the studio. Welcome back to Slightly Offensive for the first time.
It is such an honor to be here. Always happy to come here and talk about great things. And I got to say, I never thought Christina Aguilera would make me feel completely inadequate as a man. Woo!
Oh, man. And also, too, that was so good. You just kind of blew it up. And so we're very happy that you got the energy up. And back in the studio, the newest reporter on the scene. He is the assistant managing editor for Next News Network, Aldo Bottazzoni. Welcome back to Slightly Offensive.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Thanks so much for having me. I was pretty mentally and emotionally unstable from this weekend in L.A., but I will relive this nightmare one more time for you guys at home.
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about a few things. Number one, cities are still crazy. Like Los Angeles is like Star Wars, it's like demons everywhere. And I think you forget how desensitized you get to all this until you go back. And then I go with someone that's not from LA, and I'm walking around and like I think somebody like just that came out of Hades, and they're walking around, they're swinging their arms, they're like there's poop on the ground, there's people dying, you're walking over dead people to get into Tao, and I'm thinking like, oh yeah, I'm back in my culture. Aldo's over here, he's like my soul's drained, and I was like, I forgot that there are people that are still good in the world.
Yeah, I mean, like we clowned on it and we can laugh at the pride stuff, but then we exited and I was just like, felt numb. And I was like, what did I just witness? You know, we're walking through downtown in LA and I see some guy in hemp pants stepping over a homeless dude to get his $40 vegan burger. And I'm just like, what universe did I just walk into? Like, what's going on? It was wild, Mark.
You know, I think it's become a third world country. I remember when I visited Brazil, you would see that. You'd be eating in a high rise, eating this 5-star meal or whatever they call it, like really good. And you walk outside and you're stepping over homeless people using skateboards because they have no legs, you know, to roll around on. It was crazy. So I grew up in LA. And the thing I want to say is LA's always been weird. Like West Hollywood, every year there was this parade and we knew not to go there, because you would see things that perhaps someone who has values does not want to see. So did it get worse since we were kids?
There was no cock rings and erections out. Like, I think those are called the nymphs. They told me nymph or something, or what do they call fawns? They were like, horse hats, but they have cock rings on, their penises are out. In previous years, we had seen kids brushing by them, and we have video clips of that. None of this is new to me, but there wasn't as much nudity, and I think that the footage that we've been putting out, that a lot of people like Aldo and people have been exposing, has maybe changed the PR. I think they might have banned like full-on, you know, penis nudity this year, because I think the pushback is working and people don't want kids exposed to that. Isn't that crazy that we barely came to the conclusion that kids should not be around cock ring erections?
Well, that was the most wild thing to me is, you know, I was so shocked from all this, and everybody I talked to said, you know, this was the most tame year we've had. This is actually very tame. And even with the homelessness problem or the drugs or the, you know, like I said, outside of restaurants, people were on drugs, throwing things. And I would ask the bouncers and stuff, hey, is this normal for LA? Because I'm new here. And it shocked me. You know, they said, this is actually a lot better. You know, they actually cleaned up the streets a lot. There used to be a lot more of this. And they're saying that in front of a sidewalk with drugged out homeless people that are literally pooping on the streets. I was like, this is better? What?
My hometown, LA.
I don't understand how a pride parade, because you know who you want to have sex, like straight people do kinky stuff too, right?
Well, yeah. Oh yeah.
Unmarried people, I'm assuming. I don't do any of that stuff.
Well, people do. I mean, if you still have sex after the third year, you know.
Yeah, I'm basically a born again virgin at this point. So what I'm saying is, like, we all do kinky stuff, whatever your orientation. When did homosexuality or pride become associated with weird, lewd acts in public? That's my question.
That's the question we're going to answer today here on Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where we always have confetti of color in 8K graphics, which you get provided for by signing up at blazetv.com/Elijah. And the newest edition, very expensive, probably, what is it? So probably something like Uyghur Muslim made this. He's probably getting like whipped, told like, do not read your Quran. And I'm like, you know what? At least they're efficient out there in China. So we got our real confetti of color. We're going to blast this into the air today. Let's see. Oh,
whoa.
Yes. All right. I know. God, do I have to clean this up again? It's like, I'll help you this time. And I always get all over my keyboard. It sticks. It's disgusting. But we have a big show for you today. But let me talk to you about something important. I got my boys in the room today. And obviously, you guys know when you get older, your testosterone levels can drop. There's a lot of things in the environment that can do that for you too. Which is why I talked about Nugenix, which is a total T-boosting key ingredient that can help you. So it has testosterone in it, and this actually helps to boost your testosterone levels. It has been validated in 5 clinical studies, and it's shown to boost free testosterone levels in men. Now, Nugenix Total T boosts free testosterone that the aging process robs. You can feel stronger, leaner, with more energy and drive, and more passion too. Your partner will notice the difference. And while every product professes quality, many other products use generic ingredients that are often far less than clinical grade. And with Nugenix Total T, you can get the same clinical potency levels used in the trials. And Nugenix formulation is backed by 10 years of science and research. Now get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text OFFENSIVE, OFFENSIVE to 231-231. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever. The key ingredients to help you get back into shape, absolutely free. Text OFFENSIVE, OFFENSIVE to 231-231. Text OFFENSIVE to 231-231. Honestly, don't let your T not be absolutely something that you care about. And if you are suffering with low T or you want to get this up or you're getting older, please check it out today. Text OFFENSIVE to 231-231. So, I mean, like, yeah, like you brought this up. Can we play video one again? This is just me at the parade. I want to remind you there's kids around there. I didn't really want to film a lot of the children. I filmed a little bit of them because I thought it's not their decision to be there. Clearly, when you're 4 years old, I never heard a four-year-old. I've heard them ask me, like, for candy, for a cookie. They've never said, Mommy, can you please bring me to a leather daddy spanking a whore in the ass with a rope. And like, it's just like the puppies. Like, I like sex. Everybody likes sex. As you get older, you know, I don't know what happens, but I would think like if you were going to be into something like this, at a certain point you would grow up, you would mature, and this wouldn't become your identity. And that's why I think the gays don't understand. Dave Chappelle says it's the T's that are hurting the gays. I think it's the kinks that are hurting the gays. It's the hypersexualization. And I think there's an actual disagreement in the gay community. So a lot of people have written me recently saying like, dude, there's a huge disagreement on like the people who want to be left alone and the people who want to go out in the streets and whip dogs, leather dogs in front of children. Like there's a disagreement. And I would hope everyone would disagree that this is probably not a good PR campaign.
It doesn't look good at all. You know, as someone with kids, I would not take my kids here, but you have to look at it from like a libertarian perspective, right? Their parents. Do we want to be told how to parent our children? So when we start saying we can't bring kids to this, is it overreaching? Like, how do you police this? Like, isn't it breaking some kind of law? Like to be out there doing these acts? Like, I can't just run around Texas naked, can I?
Well, that's the argument some people made, that it's actually child endangerment because they're exposing these kids to indecent exposure, which is illegal. You can't do that stuff. And it's child endangerment to bring your kids to these things. But I interviewed gay people at this Pride event, asking them, is drag appropriate for kids, or are there aspects of Pride that are inappropriate? And a lot of them surprisingly said that the kink aspect is really bad for the movement and they don't want it at Pride because, like Elijah said, it's not good for PR and it makes the whole group look bad. So there is, I think, a lot of people on that side that would like to see this stuff removed.
It does. It looks bad. It just does. It's not about... From my understanding of homosexuality, it's two people of the same sex partaking in sexual activity. Is that correct? When did putting a horse head on, getting smacked with a whip, become part of homosexuality? I think it kind of makes homosexuality look weird.
It's homo-leatherality, that's different.
When to me, it's not weird. Like, if you love somebody, you want to do that, that's fine. But to do this in public, dressed as a horse with a whip and a chain, if you want to do that behind closed doors, that's fine. Personally, I'm like, you do you, but I don't really, or do whoever you want to do, but putting it in this context, it's not a good PR move.
I'll just say this though. So somebody made us, I don't know if that's what you made this for. Somebody made us a slightly offensive bag tags. And, maybe are they bag tags? Or is Mark going to get a little whipped over here? No. This is slightly offensive to whoever made this for us. By the way, thank you. We love it when you guys send us stuff. It's pretty cool. But that's what I meant. When I see leather, I'm like, cool, that's a nice tag. Some people say, put a dog hat on, bend over, and let me smack that booty. But we do need... But the reason about the kids thing, why we got to talk about this being important, is because the libertarian aspect, I agree with you on, where it's like, can somebody do that? Yeah, okay, go ahead and be a leather person. That's totally fine with me. Can they do it at a public event where kids are present? This is where the question comes up. You go, well, it's up to parents to influence their kids. But the problem is that this stuff being pushed into kids' faces is influencing them. I want to go to a thread by someone named Eric Kaufman who talks about the increase in LGBT that is skyrocketing, that's proving that it's probably not just something you're born with, but is largely probably influenced by environmental factors 100%. I agree with that too. I don't think it's all just like you watched a movie, now you're gay. I think things could happen in the womb. I think that you could be the way you were raised, etc. But we're seeing a problem when society allows too much out in public. Kids are watching, kids are learning, and there's no way you can avoid like your kid being out in public, right? You might even live in Hollywood, just need your kid to walk down the street. This is a public accessible street. People live there. Kids live there. I don't know why they live there. Let's go to my screen here for a second. So I'm not going to read the whole thread, but he goes, this is a thread. The LGBT share among young Americans tripled in the last decade to 21%. So now 1 out of 5 Americans are gay or some, or trans or bi. I do think most of these are like 18-year-old girls that are like, I'm bisexual. I love making out with girls too. And it's like, okay, Carol, like just, you know, get out of here. You don't care.
That makes for a really amazing college years.
It's like, you're not bisexual, Stephanie. You just had too much to drink with your sorority sister.
Yeah. Stephanie, that's called half a bottle of Malibu rum. You got to chill out here. You're not part of the community. But it says trans and non-binary identification may be up as much as 1,000%. My new CSPI Center org report shows that Bill Maher suggested shaped by social trends. And he goes on to say, data from the GSS NORC shows that the LGBT identification has been diverging from same-sex behavior. LGBT identity has risen 11 points among Americans under 30 since 2008, but same-sex behavior has only risen 4 points. So this comes to your point of like, this is not just about homosexuality. This is about like an expression of like a community of otherness, of weirdness, right? You got your pronouns and your gender identity and your kinks. And it's not about just like, oh, I'm gay and I want to have sex and be left alone. It's this community of the flag and an identity. And again, that's why he's saying like, it's not that gayness is rising, but the community is. And I don't know if it's because more people are identifying or that it's more popular. So people that might have, you know, had doubts before, it's been like, I'm going to keep this hidden, are just being more open about it. Or maybe they're just adding so many letters that people are just getting grouped in. Cause now we have the asexuals and they even just added intersex, which is like a, you know, a condition. It's not even a choice, you know? So like they added intersex to on the flag. You watch it in the Pride video. I don't know why this is rising, but that would be my guess, is like, it's more popular. And it's also, they're adding more people into the group.
Didn't they have a study, I believe years ago, where I think it was men cannot be bisexual, but women can. I'm gonna have to look it up, but it's
a meme.
No, it's a legit study, and it makes
sense.
Look it up. I've always had this thing like, I don't know if you could will yourself to be gay. I don't know if I guess you could, but I think it's almost something you have to be. Like, if you walk into, let's say, a professional female volleyball team's locker room, you might get a little happy, right? If you walk into the Denver Broncos locker room and you're straight, you're like, okay, dude, showering. Like, I've seen more naked dudes in gym locker rooms than I can even count. Never once was I like, that's a great penis right there, yeah. You know? But I think there's a couple things. Could it be that could it be cool to be gay now? It's almost like you're becoming a protected group, whether you're whatever your color, you're becoming like, oh, well, I identify as this, so I'm automatically, I have a harder time. It's basically an excuse for whatever, or I'm oppressed. Could that be the issue? I'm just thinking out loud because it doesn't make sense that there's more gay people.
No, I think it's 100% indisputable that this is not a result of acceptance alone, because if it were, then we would see the same percentage of homosexuality in every generation, but we're not. It's doubling generation to generation. And I think a big part of that is that, you know, 50, 100 years ago, you only had a couple modes of influence in your life, right? It was your family, it was the church, and it was your school. But nowadays you get on Twitter and you can join so many communities that believe so many different things that you have so many things to pick from. It's not just going to school, going to church and, you know, dirt biking outside or doing those simple things and having less options. Now you have so many things to choose from. And I think when you're going through puberty and when you're that young, it's hard enough, right? Just going through puberty and your mind is racing 1,000 miles a minute, just figuring out who you are and what you're interested in and what you like. And that's hard enough. But now they're being pushed on you that if you have a confusing thought when you're 14, well, you might be gay or you might be trans or you might be bi or you might be this, that, whatever. And it's like, there's just so much. It's too much for these kids to process that they're almost being forced to pick one of the letters or to pick one of the 100 gender identities just so that they can feel secure in their own skin. Because that's what you're craving when you're that age. You just want to feel secure. You want to feel like you're part of some community. And figuring that out, like I said, as is tough enough. But now with all these options, it's almost like they're forced to pick one so they can be done with the scary process of growing up. But that's not where this leaves them. It leaves them empty and hollow and still searching for community when they grow up. And that's why when you go to these drag shows or when you go to these pride shows, it's almost like these people are infantilized, or
infantilizing? Or
yes, because you go to them and they still act like kids. They're playing with these big, bright colors. They say, oh, I love my community. I'm so accepted and this. And it's like that when you're an adult, that's not what you talk about, right? You talk about being a moral man or being a moral woman and taking care of your family. But they're still almost attached to these childlike characteristics. It's really weird to see.
Yeah, Stacy, you're not bisexual. You just have trauma from your youth you haven't dealt with and you haven't grown up. The fact that you're like, it's like you're 28 and you're like, I just really need to tell the whole world I'm bisexual. Is like, that's your priorities. And if you were bisexual, then just go do it. Like, why do you got to tell everyone? I got to go tell your class. You're a teacher. You went to school. You have a college degree. You really think that part of your future is making sure your kids know that you like the VV and the PP? Like, is that part of the curriculum of your English class? I don't know, but that's what I have to say. And I mean, Eric Kaufman puts this here and he goes, for example, this is what I think is so funny. I read your study, by the way, Mark, and it was saying, I don't know if it was saying that it agreed. I didn't get through the whole study, but it was saying, yeah, there's a debate about whether someone guys can either be gay or heterosexual. That was the study I was saying. They might do both, but they are one or the other, where girls can be both because of the emotions and like the shift.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm like, it's like a 20-page study, but it's, if anyone wants to read it, it is from PNAS. That's a very strange PNAS. It's from PNAS.org. Oh man, it's called Robust Evidence for Bisexual Orientation Among Men by Jeremy Jabor. But so you guys can read that yourself. Be careful how you spell PNAS because you might end up with a different kind of study. A confetti of color premature, if you know what I'm saying. But Eric Kaufman says, for example, bisexuals are close to half the LGBT total and predominantly female. But the GSS shows that their shares of bisexual women with exclusively male partners in the previous 5 years increased from 13% to 55%. So we've gone up a lot here. A lot of women are bisexual. I'm sure all the men are really upset about the girls making out with each other. I'm sure. All right, guys? You guys are all good guys, right?
So over half the women are bisexual?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm going back to school.
That's the thing too. That's the thing too, though. It's
all
like
all the guys here, like, I'm enrolling in community college.
JUCO, baby. Let's go.
Can 30-year-olds join frats? Just a question.
I don't know. Not my chapter.
All right.
But I'll ask nationals. No, but that's the thing too. And it's like, if you're experimenting and you're a chick in college and like you just kissed a girl, like you said, you have to be bisexual for your whole life, or can you be straight and you just had a weird night? You know what I mean? But it's like, no, now you have to be bisexual. And if you're not and people know about that, then they're going to call you anti-LGBTQ or whatever. I don't know.
Well, I'm just going to mention a couple of these. We're not going to read them all, but it basically says LGBT right here is sociopolitical. It's mostly among liberal people, so it's based on your ideology. He also goes down to say that it's also most important for white and college-educated people. Mm. Data shows that a very liberal white female student who supports the idea of shouting down a speaker to prevent them from speaking has a 7 in 10 chance of being LGBT.
College is making you gay. Yeah. You heard it here first.
College is making you homosexual. You want to be bisexual.
College, if it indoctrinates you into different ideologies, why can't it indoctrinate you into being LGBT? Why not? Like, if, because you're literally in an atmosphere, right? Or an environment where the professors are thrown, what is it? 97% liberal professors, some crazy amount, right? They're throwing all these ideologies at you. They're telling you that white people are evil. You have white privilege. Why would anybody want to be straight and white? Like, why? It's like the worst thing to be right now. Everybody hates you.
Yeah, no, and I think too, when these people go to college, they're lied to, and they're made to think that being open-minded to the most extreme extent is a good thing. And I think actually a lot of people need to be more closed-minded. And I don't mean that in that you should reject having your willingness to have your mind changed, but there are some things in this earth, in this life, that I just will not want to have my mind changed on. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I'm not going to be open-minded about that, right? Is being part of the LGBTQ community normal? No, I don't agree with that. But that doesn't make me a bigot. That doesn't mean that I hate gay people. It just means that there are certain things that I'm not willing to have my mind changed on. And I actually think that that's a good thing, because it steers you in a right direction. It keeps you straight on life. And if you're too open-minded, you don't have a track to follow, and your life can go in so many directions. And that's not a good thing for human beings to be, I think.
He just said it keeps you straight.
Well,
it keeps you straight. No pun intended. Go to my screen here before you jump in. Just look at this, though. So to your point, it's on the data. Almost none of the 1,360 very conservative male students with a Christian affiliation in the FIRE data call themselves LGBT. And that could also be very similar to the fact that they may not call themselves that because it's a community, it's a political movement, right? Or they may find their identity in Christ, or they may find their identity in something else and they're not identifying. Because that's what's weird about this too. To identify as LGBT means that you're finding your identity in your sexuality, which is a more modern phenomenon in our society, in our culture. Weird sex stuff, it's probably been happening for all of time, but to create a separate community, like an identity, a sub department, you've got to have very low valuation of yourself for you to need that. Like if you need that identity, not to hate on our viewers who are gay, not to hate on people who live alternative lifestyles, but if you, I find people who watch the show, even if they do, they don't identify as LGBT because it comes with a lot of baggage, right? It's like identifying with something else too. Like people are like, oh, what's your political pronouns? Are you a conservative? Are you this? And sometimes I just don't even like to say that I don't even need to tell you what my political point is. Just watch my life and live. So I think this is kind of weird that if you're conservative and male, and also it looks like white too, white conservative male, you're less likely to be LGBT.
Well, I think we're seeing another thing. I think this also points to, I want to see how many of these households have fathers in them. Good fathers, active fathers. You're seeing the same thing that happened in the inner cities, right? Like, what was it? Like 70%+ of black families in the 1960s had two parent households. Now it's down in the 20s, 20%. And you can't say that we're in a more racial society right now. No, what we're seeing is men are breaking down as men. They have beat us down over decades and decades and decades through the feminist movement, through whatever they're doing, and men are not men anymore. So we have soft dudes, and they're soft, and the kids are trying to find themselves. They're trying to find somebody to belong to. Why do kids join gangs? Why are kids in street gangs? It's a family, la familia, right? Okay, same thing. You talked about the community. It's a place to belong. If you don't have a strong nuclear family, you're going to look at either a gang or a group to latch onto.
Yeah.
And societally, if I'm going to be accepted by simply saying that, hey, I'm gay, I think we're just looking at the breakdown of the family unit right here. That's my opinion. We need more strong men. And yes, I'm saying men. Oh, what about the women? No. I'm going to talk for men because I'm a man. I have kids. At the end of the day, I think a lot of our societal decay has to do with the breakdown. We have statistics. You have all the inner city crime statistics in the world pointing to this. We need to make this conclusion. I want to know how many of those people, how many of them have a strong father at home? I assure you it's going to be in the same proportions as you see in the inner cities.
Well, yeah, let me jump into this real fast too, because I want to remind you guys here, like we shouldn't be surprised that this generation thirsts from attention, right? Because these broken families that Mark is bringing up to the abandonment of traditional values, I mean, we're going to show you way more footage on our latest Man on the Street video from kind of what's going on here. If you want to watch it, make sure to check it out. And also too, this is the part where I tell you, if you're not subscribed to the show, make sure you like and subscribe. But I think your point comes to the place here. It's like, how many people not just don't have a father, but even the idea of both parents having to work and not having time to raise their kids. This is a report from CalMatters says, the report from United Ways of California, an anti-poverty advocacy organization, shows that the rising cost of housing and childcare have outstripped growth in wages so much that 3.5 million working households don't make enough to meet their basic necessities. And that Peter Manzo, president of CEO of United Ways of California, said the report shows a need to expand eligibility for safety net programs, etc. You can take it off the screen here for a second. What's important about this is there's another part that says the annual report titled Struggling to Move Up, the real cost of measures in California 2021 aims to provide a complete picture of California's economic divide, such as families having fewer children. The state's gradual minimum wage increase to $15 an hour in 2022 is what they're trying to do. But the whole point is they're saying it is too expensive for there to be a mother at home, for a father to go out to work, that the families are struggling to get by. They're barely meeting ends meet. And that a place like California, it's like the kids, they don't have time to raise their children because they're just trying to pay rent. And so like, that's another aspect no one talks about. You could have two parents in the home with no time to give to the kids. And maybe they're working jobs that are, you know, they don't love. They're in bad mental health. You know, maybe they don't have any time off and they're unable to, you know, even help themselves. They're overweight. They're not exercising. They might be depressed. And then they're just taking SSRIs that are keeping them from shooting themselves in the head. But they don't have any extra ammo, and I know this means like emotional ammo, to give to the children because they've wasted it all. They're like zombies and drones. And you walk around LA and everyone looks like a zombie.
No, and all those things that you just listed are just, they're just making our, you know, to your point about not having, just trying to make ends meet. We live in a convenient society, and we live in a society that wants us to just do the most, and they tell us that that'll make us happier. But what, we went from the horse and buggy to a car. Are we any less busy? Right, we went from the fax machine to the cell phone. Are we any less cluttered in our lives? We went from only a man in the household to working to both. Are we any richer? No. And so we have to return, I think, to traditional values, or at least try to get there somehow, because all the things in our society that they're telling us will make us happier and will make us richer and will make our lives more efficient, they've turned out to be complete lies.
They're absolutely lies. And when I started my first company, my wife quit her job and stayed home to raise our children. And that now is frowned upon. You know, that, oh, well, you should be working. That's chauvinistic. That's sexist. No, you know what? A parent has to stay home. I know multiple single dads, not single dads, multiple stay-at-home dads, multiple. You need someone at home to raise the children. You need someone at home to rear the children. The children these days, they're being raised by schools. I don't trust schools with anything. I don't trust these public educators, and I don't trust anything they do. Okay, they're most of the time, they're not good people. They're not in it for the right reason. Like you brought up earlier, is that they're pushing their agenda. Oh, I have to tell them I'm bisexual. Look, teach my kid math. When I was a kid, you went to school. If you saw your teacher in the grocery store, you flipped out because you didn't think they existed outside of that school building because they were teachers. That's all they did. They didn't have personal lives. The crazy part is we cannot get back to that because it costs too much to live. You cannot live on a single income. You just can't do it. Inflation, tax rate goes anywhere from 20 to 37.5%. 37.5%, add in state tax and all that good stuff. You're at 50%. How the hell are you going to live on anything less than $250K a year and put your kids in club sports? Even going to public school, you're not going to be able to afford it. We've taxed the hell out of people where we cannot afford. And that's what's decaying society. It costs too much to live. We are being taxed out of our minds.
Yeah, but I also saw
that was like so moved. I thought I was in a sermon. I'm not even joking, Mark. And I'm just thinking here. I saw my tax bill, and my wife doesn't work. I'm a single income household. I don't have any kids though, so we're doing fine. But I also look at it. You know, I mean, I think the Blaze gave me a raise of like $26 a week now. So I mean, we're doing good. And they've included a pack of Trident Layer gum. It's excellent excellent support. But I mean, you know, we've wasted $4 of that on confetti for you guys. So be grateful.
I'm not paying you back for that.
Yeah. Yeah, but what I mean is that I understand that, and I want to bring this up because I have to explain this. But what, instead of seeing the truth of the taxing in this article, what it was explaining, I don't know if we can bring up the graphic. There should be one there about the idea of raising the minimum wage. They want to raise the wage. That's all they're basically saying. This kind of breaks down what people are paying for in the world today. You know, you have the housing, the childcare, healthcare, food, same, transportation, miscellaneous, and taxes. Look at how much the taxes actually takes up. It's a significant portion of what you make. Something that could give you that extra time, that extra freedom. And like, that is the sad part. And that's the one that keeps growing, and housing keeps growing, and food keeps growing, but wages are not increasing, which means that people have to work more, work longer hours, take more shifts. And then who always suffers? It's the ones that, it's where you can give up your time. And whose time are you giving up? Time for your children.
Yeah. But let's talk about immigration too. I mean, I read a figure online. Someone was talking about the immigration figures are directly correlated to the housing increase prices over the last 50 years. And so, you know, we heard a lot from Democrats saying that immigration isn't going to take away jobs from Americans. You know, they're doing jobs that Americans aren't going to do, and it doesn't necessarily affect our workforce. But what I read, and you know, I'd like to see the exact figures, is that they necessarily are taking the jobs, and that the price increases are directly correlated to the rate of immigration. And you even hear Republicans say, well, I don't want, you know, I care about illegal immigration, but immigration is still good. Well, how really is any immigration good when it's affecting the lowest class of our citizens? It's affecting low-income families the most, Black families the most. And so, no, it's not helping us. And that's something I think we need to talk about, too.
Yeah, let's jump into that. But I want to tell you guys, too, before you even protect yourself in your country, do not forget to protect yourself online with a VPN. Save some time by using ExpressVPN. Now, ExpressVPN is an amazing thing. If you don't know what a VPN is, let me tell you this. It is a way to shield your online identity. So you have this thing called an IP address. That IP address gives you your location. People can find it. They can sell your information. You need to distort that. You need to blur that out. And the way you do that is by downloading a VPN, specifically the best VPN in America, expressvpn.com/offensive. You can download this in just a couple minutes on any of your phones, your smart devices, also your computer. And what this does, it uses a technology called their trusted server, which jumps your address around the world and from server to server. If you don't know what that means, basically, they just keep putting a new name on your ID. People can't track you. They can't find you. And it's so important that you shield yourself, your kids, your family. Don't let these people spy on you, sell your information, and use it against you. The tech companies, all these people hate you, and you need to block it, you need to blur it, and you need to have it loaded. And ExpressVPN does not slow down your devices. Right now, you can protect your online privacy with expressvpn.com/offensive. Use my code offensive right now to get a 3 extra months free when you sign up. Again, go to expressvpn.com/offensive. That's expressvpn.com/offensive. And use my code offensive to find out how you can get 3 months free when you sign up today. Check it out. So what you were saying with this idea, right? So here's the issue. Immigration affects what? Primarily the wages of lower income people, the minimum wage. This it affects minimum wage dwellers because it just, this is how it works. And they're saying that the way that we're going to fix this problem with California is to raise the minimum wage. That's what the study found. California says we've got to charge people more. Now, raising the minimum wage is a myth. We know, number one, it destroys the economy by putting everyone in the working class. You can already see a big corporations like Target and Amazon raising the minimum wage on their own. And this is because of the minimum wage rises. Small businesses can't afford it. So they want to put small businesses out. It would monopolize these companies and short small companies. And it was already been happening today. And we see this over COVID, that a lot of small businesses crashed while mega corporations thrived while everyone else was locked up. I mean, I remember that. You couldn't get COVID inside of Target, but you could get it inside of, you know, your local mom and pop shop. The government lets small families suffer and burn to the ground, and somehow we are still looking to them for help. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I don't really know if California's over. It feels like it is. But the solutions to their problems are going to send them into even deeper collapse of their state. And if you want to know, look up 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says to repent, seek God, and turn from your wicked ways, and pray that he heals your land. But if we look at this video right now, it looks like this might not be happening anytime soon. Let's go ahead and let's watch this. All right. Okay. So like, that's my point is like, they're saying we need to raise the minimum wage. Maybe you shouldn't be exposing kids to that. That could be a good place to like maybe help the future generations, is like shielding them from things that might confuse them. I'm saying you can do that, but I don't think kids should be watching that. That's nasty.
I don't either, but back to minimum wage. None of these people have ever ran a company. I've run multiple businesses. Business so owners, true. 96% of businesses fail. They just fail because they do. Because it's damn hard to own a business. Start a business, you're in a top tax bracket, you're getting taxed 37.5% off the top federally. Then you got state tax. If you don't live in a good state like Tennessee or Texas, you have a state tax on top of that. All these different taxes. And then at the end of the year, if you're an S corp, you get taxed on inventory. So if you pay yourself, there's been years I've been taxed more than I've paid myself. I've literally had, let's throw out numbers. Let's say I paid myself 50K and I'm taxed 100K. That's happened multiple times. Running a business sucks. The problem is the smart people, the Elon Musk, the Joe Rogans, the people who actually kind of have common sense and get it, they're not going into public office. Public office, you get longtime fossil idiots like McConnell and just freaking dumbasses like AOC. Those are the idiots who go into politics. And somehow they become multimillionaires making $170,000 a year. Someone explain to me how that works. So at the end of the day, minimum wage, all it does is make people like me, Well, not me. I actually take care of my employees on my own. People who own businesses have no choice. That woman who owns the cookie store on the corner, that independent cookie store, she has X amount of money that she can afford for an employee. She could have hired two people, but instead she's going to hire one because minimum wage is 15. Minimum wage will control itself. And then she's going to have to raise the cost of that cookie from $1.50 to $1.65. Everybody feels it. Cost of living goes up. But for some reason, these smooth brain liberals can't get that through their head. And a lot of Republicans are the same way. It's one and the same party. Look at the gun control thing going on right now. Like, there's no wavering on the left. They vote down the line. AOC will go against all her principles. But the Republicans, there are Romney. So what I'm saying is we have idiots running the country because none of the good people want to run for office. Look at Robbie Starbuck. You guys heard about him?
Oh, yeah.
The Tennessee GOP, those dirtbags, literally kicked him off the ballot because they didn't want him. So we don't even have a right to vote for him. It's dirty. And as long as it's dirty, we're not going to be represented.
Wait, why did that happen? Because he seemed like the best candidate that was out there. I mean, he's a family man. He's got a good brain. I've met Robbie many times. He's a brilliant individual. Why did they? Well, I know they kicked him off. I thought he got that reinstated though, right? Because they showed that.
And then
illegal.
It got overturned.
Are you serious?
It got overturned by the state Supreme Court, and now he's off the ballot. And there's really no recourse from what I can tell. So at the end of the day, there's some rule or whatever that the GOP can determine who goes on their ballot. It's what did George Carlin say? It's a big club and you ain't in it. We're not in the club, bro. So as long as good people like Robbie won't run, why would I run for office? Why would someone like me who's run businesses, I would crush it as a congressperson because I'd go up and I'd tell everybody to kiss my ass and I wouldn't care. And I'd fight everybody on Capitol Hill. But at the end of the day, why would I run? So I get trashed in the media. They could ruin my family, ruin my life. The people who run for office are the people who are dirtbags to begin with.
Yeah, no, and to your point before, like what the most inefficient thing in this world is government.
Yes.
And they purport to be, you know, helping people by starting all these government programs that, you know, will put people in Section 8 housing or, you know, prop up tent cities because they want to help people. But that doesn't actually help people. Like you said, it just makes it harder for businesses to thrive. And you're still left with people that are homeless, on drugs, not making any money. And it stops people like you from actually helping people get out of poverty, make something of themselves, work, and have a purpose in this life.
I was going to run. I literally met with people to run. And my wife's like, you do not want that smoke. I do not want that. I haven't done anything crazy in my past, but I have a past. Everybody has a past, especially Elijah. Everybody has a past. Everybody has a past. I don't want that drudged up. I don't want my kids' lives ruined. I'm just going to coach kids and do my best to help society, employ as many people as possible. But at the end of the day, as long as morons run the country, we're not going to fix it. It's not going to be fixed anytime soon. It's gotten too big. It's gotten too powerful. We cannot take it down. And that's why our forefathers, and I know this probably going to get us banned, but that's why the Second Amendment was put in there. It wasn't to hunt. It wasn't to walk down the street like you're freaking John Wayne. It was in case the government got too powerful that we could say, yo, we have the power, fix it, or we're going to mess you up.
But isn't that so sad, Mark, that somebody like you that doesn't want power, that isn't power hungry, that just wants to actually help people is being deterred from the purpose of what these government officials are for, right? Is for helping the public. But yeah. But to that point, you know, people that run for government positions, they are power hungry. They have no morals and they're only there to help themselves. And I agree with you. The Second Amendment was put in place to stop big government and tyranny. But unfortunately today, that doesn't actually apply. Because the Second Amendment doesn't stop government from tyrannizing us, all right? Like they stopped our free speech. They locked us in our homes for 2 years, right? They can do so many things nowadays that bypass the need for the Second Amendment. So unfortunately, the Second Amendment isn't helping us, you know, stop big government nowadays.
Well, nobody's willing to do anything. Like everybody's complaining about gun. Oh, they're going to take our guns. They're going to take our guns. We literally have that amendment so they can't take our guns. Like nobody's willing to actually act on our rights. That's the problem. I'm not going to be the first one out in this. No one's going to take that step. I'm not saying anybody does it.
That's my point. That's my point though.
It's like some 84 IQ, like really well, people who want to go for it, you know, like
that just, was January 6th, bro.
Yeah.
Okay. And another January 6th pisses me off.
Pretty crazy day.
If that is a threat, if a bunch of unarmed boomers is a threat to our capital, if a force, like imagine if, if some jihadist group came in or some crazy group that actually, or even a Michigan militia came in, we'd be screwed. If a bunch of unarmed boomers, did you look at those people? Like the average, everybody was deemed like their BMI was in the high 400s. Like everybody was obese. Nobody had guns. Yeah. And they're like, insurrection. I'm like, dude, if we can't extinguish this without problem, we are screwed.
We live in such an upside down world nowadays. The FBI is literally giving work visas to known terrorists that are coming through this country. Did you hear about this? In New York, the FBI is literally giving work visas to people that are on their watch list.
What?
Yes, absolutely. And so what? We're giving work visas to known terrorists, but we're locking up 80-year-old grandmas trespassing in the
January
Capitol?
January 6th insurrection right here. I don't want to give you guys a January 6th.
Yeah, there she is. There's Irene.
I don't
want to
give your 6-inch an erection because that's what I'm talking about. That's a hot grandma.
That's my grandma Irene that's been locked up for 2 years.
Honestly, that picture right there should have just made everybody laugh instead. And they're still lying. Like, the thing is, what will happen is you have video proof, but they'll still lie. AOC is still pretending like she was there. She wasn't. They literally have geo-tracking on her dumbass. Okay, so you have her. And then you have them saying five cops were killed. None. Literally, the only person who died was a Trump supporter. Now, January 6th was stupid. You're not going to see my big ass there. I'm never going to anything like that. No, not going. I'd rather coach. Okay, I got shit going on. But, okay, they were stupid. There should have been some arrests. But to call that as bad as 9/11, if I was a survivor or if I had a family member survive 9/11, I'd be pissed off. Because that was not 9/11. That was a bunch of over-anxious boomers. And then Trump went and kind of sold them all out.
Well, that's the point, is I'm not defending January 6th. Like you said, it's stupid and I can't defend it. But they're focusing on things to distract us from what's really going on. Taylor Hansen, right? He was one of the key witnesses that literally held Ashley Babbitt when she was shot and killed. They haven't even interviewed her. January 6th committee hasn't even contacted him for an interview. Why would they not if he's at the heart of it? Ray Epps, somebody that we knew worked with the FBI. He was calling for people to go into the Capitol and bum rush it.
I talked to him.
Why is he not being interviewed by the January 6th committee?
The FBI didn't care. They don't want his name.
Right, and you have $5 a gas average. You have, you know, mass homelessness. You have drugs pouring through the southern border. But no, let's talk about January 6th, but only the people that we want to talk to, not the key witnesses, because they might say something that we don't want to hear.
Well, January 6th is a campaign speech. That's all it is. It's Trump is bad. Here's our campaign speech. I haven't watched a minute of it. I don't plan on it. But what I did learn, if anybody can take home anything, is that these people will lie about stuff you know they're lying about, and they will keep lying about it because we're stupid. Americans are stupid. Our average American is stupid and ignorant and can't think and just wants to belong to either the right or the left or the this or the that. They don't have any free thinking abilities. That's why we see what we're seeing.
Well, Mark, and this is what's crazy too, like you said, and this is where people don't even think about this. I watched a second. We have a really great video that's coming out on about the January 6th hearings, a street video coming out tomorrow that we filmed out in LA. It's just so good. We went and talked to people in LA about what their thoughts were on the January 6th hearing, and you'll never believe how much they really knew about it. You know, in the movie capital of the world, we should know about the biggest television event in history. But I will say, I can't wait for that to come out 2 p.m. on Thursday, or maybe 12 p.m. I don't know, whatever time zone you're in, check it out. But like so I'm watching some clips to put into the video, and I'm watching the January 6th hearings, and it's like there's some like fat black dude. I'm like, bro, that guy needs to run. Like that guy needs to lose a little bit of weight. And like this is so dumb. He's like, we're gonna begin this hearing watching like footage like from like brave people or some bullshit. He's like, and it just the things you're about to see are very violent, and you might want to have some discretion if you're watching this. And it's like a movie. It's like, and it's like, we need officers. Like words on the screen. Like someone like edited this, and then it just starts out. It's like all of my footage in the beginning. It's just my stuff I filmed, which I guess is free use, fair use. And I go, hey, motherfucker. You never like, and I thought about this, like no one's ever called me and asked me my opinion about what happened. All they did was try to accuse me of wiretapping and some bullshit and put me under investigation. I'm like, so you're using all my perspective to prove Donald Trump is guilty. Why don't you ask me what I really saw that day? Because there's about a couple other hours of things that went on that day that I know that happened that would prove that you guys were more at fault than anyone else. That Pelosi is incriminating. I think Pelosi would go to jail if I was ever able to explain what I actually saw. I think she would go to jail for literally causing this. I think she caused it personally.
She can literally stab Jesus tomorrow and not go to jail. These people, listen. Hillary literally has killed people. and they will not put him in jail. Like, this is in, they are above the law. They are just above the law. They are.
Well, like, no, you said,
she,
like,
she did, they killed, that's why I'm laughing. The Clintons did kill people. That's a true statement.
They truly killed people.
A lot of people have been killed from January 6th. You know, they've killed a few people. I'm just going to remind you that. That's the true statement.
Oh, yeah.
They've already killed a few people.
They're using January 6th for so many things just to fit their narrative and push their agenda. I mean, you had Ryan Kelly. He was a governor candidate in my home state of Michigan.
I saw that.
That was arrested by the FBI for being there on January 6th. Now, I don't know exactly what he did. I think he was on the Capitol steps. But right, you have this Republican conservative governor candidate that doesn't fit their narrative, that might turn their state blue, and they arrest him just like that. Right, and we know now that Nancy Pelosi was asked by Donald Trump and by other members of the Congress to bolster security on January 6th, and she denied it. Why was Nancy?
Wait. They say we don't have any confirmation of that. It's like, so Nancy Pelosi sees it. Like, but even that day, it's like, I have a video. I can time lapse it to where they didn't call in reinforcements, and I'm asking officers, and like, they're not sending anybody. They're not sending anyone to tell us to hold the line without helmets, without everything. You're going, okay, I have all this footage. A lot of it's unreleased. And it's like, that's what I'm saying. Why don't you ask me what I saw and who I talked to? You know why? Because then your whole story would fall apart. Because you guys, they won't talk to Taylor. They won't talk to anyone who was there that has the truth of what happened, because they need to make theatrics of it. It's all fucking bullshit.
Nancy Pelosi's like, they didn't have the right equipment. There wasn't enough people there. And it's like wait, didn't you deny a request to add more security? Wait,
they fact check you. Reuters goes, that was never confirmed. It was never, we don't have the paper, the memo. It's like, oh yeah, what do you think? Someone had a sticky note and like we like have a copy of it? It's just like, no, of course you're gonna be asking for security. Every event I've been to there has had more security than that event.
Yeah.
The January 6th thing is just so over the top. And again, I'm the first one to say, because I actually had people, I'm not gonna say, they're like, hey, are you going to go to DC? I'm like,
hell no.
I'm like, nah, you ain't gonna catch my ass there. I got too much to lose, man. I've been working my entire life trying to get rich. I'm finally there. I'm not losing it for Trump's ass. You know, I'm like, but I'm like, nah, it's like, I'm watching this and it's just, it's absurd because there's so many things and you're seeing in the polls right now. And the polls obviously usually favor left. I mean, we saw that in even the election, the fairest election of all time. Mm-hmm. The polls were wrong. They usually favor the left. I mean, if I'm mistaken, please correct me. And it's going to be a bloodbath in November. I think people, gas is everything. Gas is everything. It controls the prices of everything we consume. It's everything we do. You can't go on a trip. Every time you fly, it's double the price.
Yeah, listen, Mark, everyone wants to be a social justice warrior until the cost of living goes up 300%.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, I'll go for some mean tweets right about now.
Yeah, I could totally use mean tweets.
Until it's $10 a gallon for gas. And I will say, I want to mention this though too, like the theatrics of this, like you said, everything goes up. We went to LA and like you said, with gun control and everything, in the midst of all this government, this is a good time while the government's, you know, absolutely destroying the country to say, now's the time we want your guns. And that's just such an odd time. It's like, if there's any more time that I want a gun, it's the last couple of years. When we saw what happened with BLM, when we saw, you know, even with the way the feds had informants with that Patriot Front group in Coeur d'Alene, and then they detained them all. It was like, I wrote a tweet. I was like, I love watching police arrest each other in different uniforms, you know, like, and then it's like just the dumbest thing going on. It's like, there's no better time to have a gun than now. Buy your firearms. But they had the March for Our Lives this week, and the David Hogg Parkland people, shout out to Cameron Caskey. He was there. And I've become so familiar with these people. They don't even kick me out now. Like, I just shook his hand. I'm like, Elijah Schaefer, good to see you. Cause they can't stop me, by the way. And I also say I wore a bucket hat, cause this is the White Boy Summer 2. It's the summer of bucket hats. It's actually true. It's an official hat of White Boy Summer 2. Bucket hats. They're back.
I got
in.
Mine too. No Mark, idea. You need to get one.
Yeah, you definitely
you gotta
do.
Get a bucket hat.
It's I did not in. Get this memo.
It's back in. Bucket hats, like neon colors, blue, pink, yellow, they're all back in now. It's White Boy Summer. You gotta have one. It's true. But if you go to my screen here, CNN, we had this out. They're back asking for our guns. The people believe this is the time that, this is what's so crazy. The government is f***ing everybody in the literal ass. And this is the one time now that only the government should have guns. We hate the government because the government's evil, because we're on Trump's January 6th hearings and the government's crazy and presidents are corrupt and we hate them and they should be impeached and taken down, but also that same government should be the only one with the guns, even though they're ruining our lives. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know what's going on.
I like how they're all pro-choice probably too. So it's like March for Our Lives, but kill the babies.
Yeah, I saw so many.
Get your vaccine. Get your vaccine.
Oh yeah, because you know. Well, did you see the? I sent the report to your producer, but they actually there's a new. It's a survey. It's not a study. I'm going to clarify that. Where actually the people who are getting more sick have the V. So it's crazy that everything I was afraid, and I didn't even think it would be this bad. So I'm like, well, thank God I didn't do that.
Well, Mark, did you hear about this new thing called SADS, sudden adult death syndrome?
It happens all the time.
It's been happening for a long time. And this is not
face.
New.
And paralyzed face.
Yeah, strokes, droopy face out of nowhere, sudden adult death syndrome. These are things that we know have been going on for what, like decades, right, Elijah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Literally, the thing is, I knew what SADS was, sudden adult death syndrome, because I've been going through that emotionally for like my entire life. I'm like, everyone's like, what happened? I'm like, one day I just woke up and I was dead inside and I never looked
they're
back.
They're so blatant nowadays. SADS. They're like, these people are idiots. We're going to call it sudden adult death syndrome. And everyone is an idiot. They're like, oh, okay.
You know what they call that? They call that dying. Like, that's just dying. It's just dying. Like,
I could use a little of that. I was like, if I have to go any year, this is a fine year for me to go. Like, I tell God that I'm I wasn't even joking about this. I was praying one time and like, everyone's like, are you really sad your mom died? And I was like, yeah, I am. But like, honestly, going out at the beginning of 2020, that's like going out right before the Great Depression or something. Like if you had to go out, there's like a good season to miss. This would have been it. Like, at least she like thought life was good and she didn't have to experience this. You know what I mean?
Like, she's like Barry Sanders. Yeah. Dude, she went out at the height of her career before any ACL tear. She's good to go.
It was like not a good situation, but you know what? I gotta say this: if you died September 10th, 2001, you ended in a good era. At least you ended strong. Like September 11th just made it all worse.
Dude, I've been to like two drag shows and a pride event in the last couple of weeks. I'm like, I could use some SADS right now.
I've never been to any of those. I live close to Tijuana. I've never been to a donkey show either, which I guess is the next step.
Oh my God.
Don't look that up. Do not Google that. Do not Google that.
God, Mark.
You know what it is.
No, I've never heard
this. Oh, my God, yeah.
The donkey show?
I'm not even talking. Google it. Everyone Google it. I don't know what it is either.
No,
Google it right now.
No, don't Google it. Don't Google it.
Take off restrictions.
Tijuana? Oh, it was a thing. It was a thing.
Well, I don't want to. Oh, do we know what this is?
There's a donkey involved, an actual donkey. You don't want to look?
Oh, brother.
Yeah.
Oh. I'll just stick with the drag shows.
Yeah, stick to the drag shows look like. Actually, it is kindergarten now, but
yeah.
it looks like just PG.
This world is insane. I'm so clown-pilled lately.
Bend over, Mark.
Oh my
Mark.
God.
I'm gonna whip you with my slightly offensive fan-made whip.
This is my dog.
Man, you're
that's
gonna
off camera. That's Blaze TV only exclusive.
You're gonna need counseling after this month.
Well, I literally left the Pride event and I was so numb and I was like, that kind of traumatized me a little bit, and I'm 22 years old. I can't imagine the kids that were watching that for the first time that haven't been through life and haven't, you know, been desensitized the normal ways, you know, which is just going through puberty or, you know, getting concussed during sports, you know.
It sucks your
like,
soul.
You got to see a dude's dick out on Main Street in LA. That'll mess you up. It messed me up.
What did Kez tell you? She said, I saw my first couple penises in LA.
Yeah, like guys jerking off
to
on
her,
the side
yeah.
of the street. Like, yeah. What?
Who does that on the side of the street?
I know. I usually
LA
in the middle
was
of the street. At least have the risk of getting hit by a car so it like heightens the pleasure, you know?
Wow. It's
like, no, but it's true. I was telling him, I was like, I am the way I am. I was like, you'll understand how I am more when you go visit where I grew up, because you'll see like why I have no soul and like why I'm like totally fucked up. Like it just makes complete sense. But I care about what's right and what's good. So I try to do what's right and what's good. I fail miserably at it. But at the same time, it's like, I'm not going to promote the very society that destroyed me. Like that's what I don't get with people. If you got messed up by something, why are you pushing it on the next generation? I'd rather expose it and say, hey, look, this is what I grew up with. This is what I saw. This is what I know to be society and true. And I know the kind of people that came out of this place and they're really messed up. And most of them are extremely screwed up in the head and in their life and their sexuality. And I don't want that for the country. I don't want that exported to the world. And I want to make sure that we stop that and that we show people that the works of darkness do not lead to the light. And on that note, I got to give a big shout out to our sponsor for today, Birch Gold. Remember, in your investments, things are crazy with crypto, with the stock market. You got to diversify your investments. You got to keep the value of your money, which is why you should invest in gold and silver from our good friends at Birch Gold, who have the top rating with the Better Business Bureau. They are an amazing company, trusted by so many people. Birch Gold Group is that most trusted leader, proudly celebrated by our customers, the industry, and major media leaders alike. It's amazing, and you guys have been supporting them. Right now, you can learn how to transfer your money tax-free into a tax-sheltered account, gold account, 401k. It's absolutely amazing. It's so great. And you can also keep your investment in something that's real, that's tangible. Many people who use and diversify their investments are not so worried about the future. And right now you can get a free info kit to find out how you can actually invest in gold and silver and precious metals using their methods and using their services. Text offensive, OFFENSIVE to 989-898. That's offensive to 989-898 and get the free info kit on gold. So why wait? Take out your phone. Take it out right now. Type in 989-898. and text the word offensive. Check it out. Get the free info kit. Find out how you can start investing your money into gold and silver, something that has stood the test of time, and how you can do this right now using their information. Go text offensive to 989-898. That's 989-898. So obviously we're talking about this craziness, the March for Our Life stuff. It's like such a weird time to want to take our guns. And like we saw that there was a DC march on Saturday afternoon at the Washington Monument, and it said, if you listen closely, you'll hear the cries for our fallen loved ones in our churches, our synagogues, our schools, and now our grocery stores. And it's like the fallen children. What abortion? What about everyone with the vaccines, et cetera? I mean, you guys don't give a crap. It's very selective, and they just want to take away your guns. And we have some footage that was recorded from Aldo, who was there. You can follow him on Twitter. His full name, it's a link in the description, Aldo Buttazzoni. You can get live updates. Don't have to wait for the show. It's so important. Let's go ahead and let's watch this video. Yeah. Okay. So although it's like, yeah, give up your guns and also defund the police at the exact same time. Let's have no protection except what, from the federal government? I mean, I don't understand this.
Yeah, no. Starting that chant, he was smoking a joint the entire time, so that maybe is a little bit to why he was chanting that. But yeah, I saw a lot of people. I think every single person I asked if they wanted to ban assault weapons said yes. And you know, I think nowadays we have to do something, to stop these mass shootings and stuff. Which is why I said, you know, I support raising the age from 18 to 21, which is another discussion. But to outright ban weapons, I think, is wrong. Especially when we have our government buying these weapons for, you know, the Taliban over in Afghanistan. So why should I not be able to have a gun that my government is buying for terrorists? You know, we need something to protect ourselves in these crazy times.
Well, and I love these pictures too, like at these marches, they try to, you know, irk your sensitivities. Like it says, like, books, not bullets, right? Like, we need books, not bullets. I mean, yeah, and I understand that. If you go to my screen, I don't know if you can see that. But it's like, ma'am, you're not really the target for either of this, because ultimately speaking, nobody's providing you with bullets. You are a 3-year-old girl, so you're not able to buy bullets. And with books, you know what? It's crazy though. We can get her a book that teaches her about anal sex in her school, right? She doesn't even need to buy the book. She can just rent it from her non-binary librarian. And so it's like, people are so confused. It's like, yeah, we do want to protect kids. We don't want kids getting shot. We also don't want kids getting sexualized. We're not against each other, but also, like, don't forget the idea that a family that's together with a father who has firearms and a mother and a family knows how to use them is unlikely to ever use them in a mass shooting or to do anything wrong with them. And with how violent our cities have become, it's like, this is not the time to not have firearms. That's all I'll say.
No, totally. And I saw this one sign. It said, if you're pro-life, you have to be anti-gun. And then I go up to them. I ask them, well, should we arm teachers? And everybody said, no, we shouldn't arm teachers. We should leave them without guns. If there's a school shooter in there, then what do you think is going to happen if we're not putting guns in teachers' hands? And I'm not saying force them to have them, but if a teacher that's trained and has a license wants to have a gun in their classroom to protect their kids, then they should be able to have that right.
Yeah, I think this is a sign, right? Gun control is pro-life. That's like very weird. I don't even understand why, if you go to my screen, gun control is pro-life. So,
but in the same vein, right? Like I'm a reasonable person and I like to just talk to people and understand why they are anti-gun. And I talked to one woman that she said that she was a victim of a mass shooting. She was in a club in Canada, I think somewhere in 2005 or something. And a guy came in and he shot 8 people and she was shot in the leg, you know, and she was a dancer and she had to give up dancing for the rest of her life because she was shot through her bone. And so I hear stories like that and I can't blame someone like that for being anti-gun. I really can't. And I think it's important to understand them and at least hear those stories. Because I see a lot on the right that they're just, oh, they want to take your guns. They're idiots. They hate our... It's like, yes, I disagree that they shouldn't be able to take our guns, but I have to empathize with people that have been victims of real violence. I mean, how would you feel if you were out on the town having a good night and you were shot in your leg?
It's like I've been a victim of violence out on the town multiple times. You know what? People said, why are you against multiculturalism? I've experienced it first person and I'm not a big fan.
No, but my point
is, with a fist of fury at gun. I mean, I've had people hold guns in my head. I don't like it. I mean, I literally have had that. I've even had DHS, you know, break my leg, whatever. I've had things happen. I got my legs blown off on Normandy. You know, I just want to exaggerate like they do. But I meant like, I've been around enough violence where I'm like, damn, I wish I had a gun right now. That's what I feel like.
No, I agree. You know, but my point is this, is that a lot of these people, yes, they're crazy. They just sit at their computer all day and they just go with this is the current thing. I'm going to support it. But there are also people that we have to understand why they believe the things that they do. You know, they're real victims. They have gone through trauma. But we should be armed. We have to have our guns to protect ourselves. I carry a gun on my hip every single day. You know, I'm an Eagle Scout. You must be prepared. That's our motto. Dearming our society is not the answer. We have to have good guys with guns to stop the bad guys with guns,
and
period.
And we have one. And he said, you know, the leader of this march, he's here on the screen. If you can go to it, he's saving us, guys. Jesus Christ. Exactly. You thought it was no Jesus of Christ.
My
That's
savior.
Our Lord and Savior right there. And not even be sacrilegious. I'm not even making light of it. It's true. He literally will save everything. You know, he wasn't able to get his pillow company off the ground, but his rights will protect you. If you can go to my full screen here. Anyway, we got to wrap things up here. And I want to give a huge shout out to my guest today, Mark Loebliner. Where can people find you? Where can people follow you?
Okay. So on YouTube, it's Tiger Fitness. Everywhere else, it's Mark Loebliner, MarkLoebliner.
And Aldo Bottazzoni, thank you so much for coming on the show again. Where can people find you and follow you?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter, just my full name, Aldo Bottazzoni. And we have a couple videos releasing on Fleckus Talks today or this week on YouTube. So go check them out.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. And of course, we're going to read a couple of reviews for you right here. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, wherever else you can find these reviews. We have one review here from Would Highly Recommend to My Ad. Awesome podcast, grace to listen to, people who seek the truth and not afraid to speak it. When can we have John Doyle and Tony Ortiz guests at the same time? Oh, we should have Tony on. For us audio only listeners, would be interesting to see if we could tell the difference because they sound so similar in speech. And we have one more as well as a thank you to you. This is another 5-star review. It's time for dancing, damn it. Elijah's show cured my husband's erectile dysfunction, and he has never listened to an episode himself. Not only that, but listening to this show made my breasts 5 size bigger. I hope you're a woman. And my kids are now as large as average height giants after nursing from them. Perfect world for domination. I don't know what that means. If you want a vile husband and to nourish mammoth warrior children, you have to listen to Slightly Offensive, the best war show on Blaze TV. True. Very true. All true statements. Anyways, guys, don't forget and sign up at blazetv.com/Elijah to help us fight the censorship. Always. My name is Elijah Schaefer, the host of Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV. Have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.